ownership, management, or advertisers of this station.
Welcome to Recovery Talk 101. I'm your host, Rick Ford, and you're listening to 900 AM WURD and 96.1 FM on your dial. And what a great day here in the city of Philadelphia. Yes, I'm glad to be back here at WURD. And before we get started, we're going to open up the phone lines at 215-634-8065, toll-free 1-866-361-0900. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. We even on Facebook. For those that are viewing and listening, this is the only show we do every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. where we bring hope and healing over the airwaves. And I need to be honest, I am so glad to be back in here. For those who knew that I had been out of condition for the last couple of weeks, I want to thank my good doctors over there at Jefferson Hospital, all the prayers and hopes, the friends and family who knew the situation I was in. I want to thank my wonderful wife, who was my main supporter, and thank God. It was only through God's prayer and hope that I'm able to overcome these obstacles. And the greatest message of it all is what I got out of that was, Rick, you can't do everything. And I had to learn to give assignments and delegate responsibility to some people. I want to thank the brothers of Strawberry Mansion, my good friend. I call him my brother, Isaac Jackson, who is the treasurer, Montez Tucker, Dwayne Holloway, Warren Carter, and I'm missing somebody else in the organization. We had a wonderful trip. These guys are, kudos go out to these guys. These guys took 60 people, women and children, to the Historical Museum in Washington, D.C., and kudos go out to the brothers of Story Mansion. So, listen, man, that's my team, and I want to make sure I pay homage to those guys, because in the midst of me being down, these guys stepped up to the plate and were able to carry the torch. So I want to thank those guys for that. I want to thank City Council President Darrell Clark, my good friend. He spoke with me today. People just checking on me, making sure that I was able to be okay. Ricky Allison, my best friend, called me every day, and I want to thank Rick. Even in the middle of his struggles, he still called to check on me. I want to send out my prayers to Bill Ingram and his family. Understand Bryant Green, who does a show here at 4 o'clock, Always Best Care, mentioned to me today that Bill Ingram's brother died. So anybody that knows Bill Ingram, please, you call Bill. Bill, we're going to be there to support you, man. You're talking about a humble guy from Platinum Production that's been doing phenomenal work for many years here in the city of Philadelphia. All these shows in Atlantic City, comedy shows, and a host of shows that happen here at the Dell Music Center. So, Bill Ingram, we love you, man. So, tonight's show was sponsored by Gardenzia. And I got my good friend Tony Montier, who is a regular here, hasn't been here. And I just want to say this to you personally and professionally. I love you. I love you so much. And
absolutely.
I tell people quite often my very first job in recovery started at Gardenzia and Mike Hall. I understand, Mike, you stepped down. Ooh. Mike stepped down.
Well, yeah, he is now head of our foundation. So we have the Gardenzia Foundation, mm-hmm. which covers all of our housing programs.
Yeah.
And then we have Inc., where we have a new CEO, and his name is Dale Klatster.
Dale Klatster?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr.
Yes,
Klatster, for handing the baton from Mike to you, carrying the torch for 50 years. Wow. Mm. Kudos. Let's give Gardenzia a hand for that. Been just doing phenomenal work, not only here in the state of Pennsylvania, Detroit, Delaware, Maryland, Harrisburg, all over. Mm-hmm. 50 years of providing hope and healing to people. So,
that's right.
Mike, I love you, man. And all the good friends over there at Gardenzia at 13th and Spring Garden. I'd be remiss if I start mentioning all my names to people, my good friends over there. But they know I love them. So, Tony, what are we doing tonight?
I thought we'd take a different spin today. Well, Derek, let me just start by saying that it's so good to see you too.
Likewise.
And, brother, I heard you were sick with this, the issue. It's the first time I'd ever heard of that issue was just a couple months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Know that you were missed. We had a good recovery walk this year, but we didn't have Derek there.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
I'm responsible for, I'm the founder and the executive director of Recovery Idol, which is a spinoff of American Idol. Mm-hmm. And we had a great year with 23 contestants, and the two finalists, Dana Lewis and Donna Anderson, Vivian Lewis, be correct, she was the winner of Recovery Idol. Mm-hmm. So the day of the recovery walk, I went down here and took her that big cardboard check, and I handed that check over to Deputy Commissioner Roland Lamb because I was still unable to perform. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this, Tony, and I'm glad you said that. I've got a plethora of phone calls. People say, the recovery walk, Rick, ain't like it is if you're not there.
Absolutely.
And Deputy Commissioner Roland Lamb called me the other day, and kudos go out to PROACT now. Jennifer King and all the folks who were at PROACT, you guys did a phenomenal job. But we're going to be meeting me, Jennifer King, and Roland Lamb in terms of moving the recovery walk, getting bigger and better next year. So God willing, you guys pray for me. I'll be back on the stage doing what I do.
Absolutely.
God willing.
One of the things that I've always admired about you, Derek, is that, and I sort of patterned myself after that, is you, and Mike helped me with this too, put a face to recovery.
Yes.
And it's so very important to put a face on recovery.
Yes.
When I came to Gardenzia almost 20 years ago, I thought I came with a secret. As a matter of fact, 21 years ago, I had never heard of Gardenzia. I'm from Baltimore. And I thought tonight we'd talk about our recovery journeys. And so I had one of my colleagues here, Shannon Qualters, who's going to share her story.
Yes, indeed.
We have different stories, but our stories are relevant to us and others.
Hmm.
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
Stop right there.
Yes.
I do this with everybody that comes on the show that's from Baltimore. I say God.
God?
Yeah, you from Baltimore. Tony, they usually say God.
God.
There's a little
God,
accent that they put on. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We are known to have a little accent.
Yeah.
But when I came through, I mean, I'm a college graduate. I graduated, I went to Morgan State, but it was at Morgan that I was introduced to marijuana and cocaine and every substance out there. And I dibbled and dabbled through college. My nickname through college was Tea, because I always carry tea with me, marijuana,
yeah,
right?
Tea.
But when I left, when I graduated, Derek, I was able to put the drugs aside and get a job. And I've worked in the mayor's office in Baltimore. I've been the secretary, the public affairs officer for the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Maryland. I've done radio, television. I've developed a newspaper in Baltimore, and we did everything. But I quickly became a functioning addict.
Yeah.
And in Baltimore, 20 years ago, Derek, would you believe we did not know anything about recovery?
At all.
At all. And there were treatment centers in Maryland.
Very limited.
Very few.
Yeah.
So, and the circle that I ran in, nobody talked about treatment. I didn't even know treatment was an option. So, and I was a heroin addict.
Wow.
I was a full-blown heroin addict. And my best friend was a Baltimore City public school teacher. She was a heroin addict. Now, let me talk to you about the addict's mind.
Yeah.
She turned me on to heroin. I thought I was snorting cocaine. She turned me on to heroin. A few days later, a couple weeks later, my nose is running. I feel like I had a cold.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She wants to come over, and she says, I'm sick. I said, I can't. I don't feel good. She said, oh, girl, there's nothing wrong with you. All you need is a little two, and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
I said, well, you come get the money.
And
go get it.
Go get the stuff.
She did it. She came back. She gave it to me. I was fine, and the party was on.
Yeah. Wow.
When I really began to understand that I had an addiction, we both did, but she said to me, she was a school teacher, girl, I've been snorting heroin for 13 years every day, and I don't have an addiction. So in my predisposition to addicted mind,
yeah,
I said, wow, if she can snort for 13 years and not have a habit, oh, I know I got a good run in me.
Yes.
Right? But if she snorted, now I see the fallacy in that statement.
Indeed.
If she snorted every day for 13 years, she had a what? She had a habit.
She had a habit.
Right. So at that time, the only thing we talked about in terms of how you break that habit is alcohol.
Mm. Indeed.
So we would drink alcohol. I didn't know anything about recovery, Derek.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I came to Philadelphia that I was exposed to treatment. The addicts that I ran with in the street knew about treatment. When they wanted a break, I had one young lady say to me, I'm going to Eagleville so I can get a break. I didn't even know what Eagleville was. But listen, look at God. I did go to Eagleville, and then I went to Intramouse West, and I found treatment. And I found people who had been there, done that, and they had found a way out. They were smiling. They were laughing. They were back into life. And I really seriously wanted what they had.
Yes.
That was the turning point for me.
Yes.
I had a friend when I came through treatment who knew about my background and had gotten a job at Gaudenzia. And she said, Tony, you know, with your background, you can get a job in community affairs. And I said, I don't even know who Gaudenzia is.
Yeah.
20 years ago, Derek.
Wow.
I don't know Gaudenzia. But she insisted, and I got them my resume, and I got hired by Mike Hall, and I found myself in a recovering environment where people in prominent positions, including Mr. Hall himself,
yes,
were all in recovery.
Yes.
And they weren't afraid to say that. They would share their experience, and it just gave me so much hope. And Mike took me right up under his wing.
Yes.
And
yes.
I had the pleasure, and it was an extreme pleasure to work with this man for the first 7 years,
yeah,
that I worked with at Gaudenzia,
yeah,
as his assistant.
Wow.
And then I transitioned there. You know, we reached that 7-year mark, that ceiling, and we say, well, what else can we do?
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah.
And there was an opening. We had just developed our first permanent housing program, and that was Tioga Arms.
Yeah.
And then that was my light bulb moment. And I said, I can do that, because all of the administrative experience that I had gathered over the years, communication skills that I had honed over the years, all that came into play when I stepped in as the program director at Gaudenzia.
So
let
crazy.
Me just say, I am Gaudenzia's Director of Housing. And in that capacity, I oversee our permanent housing programs, our transitional housing programs, and our emergency shelter services. I never knew what recovery held for me until I came into Gaudenzia.
Yeah.
Gaudenzia, and Shannon was just saying the same thing, Gaudenzia has helped me stabilize too.
Yeah.
Because I found myself in an environment working with all of the Christine Abdul Rahim.
Oh my God.
Mike Carl. George Davis.
George Davis.
These people were strong
Yes.
Anthony Weston.
Yes.
These people were strong role models for me.
Yes.
And had found a way up and out, and I wanted what they had.
Yeah.
Now, Gaudenzia, we don't develop housing just to do housing. We develop housing to house our residents coming through treatment, to provide safe, affordable housing for the recovering addict.
Yeah.
We try to create a sense of community, a recovery community within our housing programs. And we have more housing on the board.
Yes.
You know, we have... And we go into some of the toughest neighborhoods. Oh, my God. You know where the Blue Moon Hotel
yes,
is?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, West Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, who doesn't know about the Blue Moon?
Listen, the Blue Moon Hotel, we just purchased the land
really?
Next to the Blue Moon Hotel, and we're going to develop a 30-unit apartment building there. Yeah. Now, it had to take Mike and everybody else to get me to the point, because I walked those streets in my bottom.
Yeah.
And going into the Blue Moon at that time was a come up.
Me too.
Me too.
You too? Yes.
Right. We all are residents at some time venturing into the Blue Moon.
The Blue Moon. But you know they're closed now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. A quick story about the Blue Moon, but I want to go back to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Mike is one extraordinary person.
Yes,
and you don't find people like Mike Hall. I sat on the board up in Harrisburg at Pro A,
mm-hmm.
not Pro Act, but Pro A. And mm-hmm. Mike's here, Rick. I want you to sit on the board with me up there.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you talk about a gentle guy.
Yeah,
you don't find many people with that kind of
vision.
Vision
and compassion.
Yeah,
and Gaudenzia is his life. Mike was our leader, chief, and leader for the past 40 some years.
Yeah.
You know, and he has established himself as a visionary leader throughout the world.
Yes, he has.
Because we have treatment programs that were developed by Gaudenzia, like our women and children's programs. We did some research years ago, and what we found out when we followed women who were allowed to bring their children into treatment with them is that we found out that they had better outcomes if they were allowed to bring their children with them.
Yeah.
Some women would not go into treatment if they were not allowed
to have their kids. And you're right, Tony.
Right.
And I hope folks that are viewing and listening understand the importance of reunification.
Mm-hmm.
And disease of addiction is a family disease. So when mothers are trying to get their self together, and kudos go out to Gaudenzia for creating that kind of program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live up in near Stitton Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhere in the bottom of my heart. And I'm going to talk to you probably off the air one day about finding me something to do over there. Because every day when I leave to go to work, I see those women exiting out to take their kids to the local school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more work that I need to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more work. It's enough work out there for all of us to be a part of the solution.
Yeah.
My point about Gaudenzia expanding, because we're the largest nonprofit provider in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Delaware. And imagine the pride I felt coming back to Baltimore 20 years, because we opened up our first treatment program in Baltimore about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So imagine my pride. I'm coming back. I left a part of the problem, and I returned a part of the solution.
Yes.
And so when we opened up Park Heights.
Is that in Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have several treatment programs in Baltimore and in Maryland and Washington, D.C. But Park Heights was the first one we opened in Baltimore. And when we opened up Park Heights, that was the first time that a treatment program had been opened in over 50 years.
Wow.
In
Baltimore. And that speaks to why so many of us were uneducated and didn't even know that there were treatment options. I was an intelligent woman, Derek.
Yes.
And I did not know that treatment, I didn't know anything about, can you imagine that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not knowing anything about treatment. Shannon, what was your experience? Did you know about treatment when you were in your active addiction?
I did, but I too was uneducated. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a setup for failure. Mm-hmm. Many times I was in different, you know, recovery places, recovery homes, and what you see is what you get, and mm-hmm. that's exactly how they treated me. They treated me like I was a piece of trash.
But now hold on, because I want us to go to your story. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how I got introduced to treatment. Mm-hmm. I was selling drugs.
Get out of here.
Mind you, my first year, yeah, I'm going to say this publicly, my first year in recovery, I didn't know anything. I would be on the street, but I got arrested. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was arrested, but really I was rescued. So my stipulation that Cadenzia had a program at Broadmaster, mm-hmm. and I had to go to the outpatient. Here's what happened, Tony. As I go to the outpatient services, the guy's there saying, we're going to leave here and go around the corner to this 12-step meeting. Now, there was something about these guys. They were looking good, smelling good. Mm-hmm. And something said, at that moment, God said, you need to tack one of these dudes. Now this is how I introduced to 12-step groups. Mm-hmm. And it all started by being implemented and stipulated to outpatient treatment at Cadenzia. It was at that white building at Broadmaster. So mm-hmm. not only do I go to treatment, get clean, get a job at Cadenzia, I'm like, here we are.
Wow.
So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back because we want to talk a little bit about Shannon and her wonderful story, how God has moved you to this point here. Phone lines are open, 215-64-8065, toll free, 1-866-361-0900. We on Facebook, we on Twitter, we on Instagram. This is when we bring hope and healing over the airways. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know suffering with an addiction? If so, Cadenzia can help. Cadenzia is Pennsylvania's largest nonprofit provider of drug, alcohol, and mental health services. Get help today. Addiction is a disease. It is not a moral failing. And the good news is, addiction is treatable, and Cadenzia can help. Nearly one out of every four families in Pennsylvania is affected by this illness. Addiction cuts across every demographic group, every income level, every religious affiliation, and every profession. Addiction pulls apart families and friends. And if left untreated, addiction is almost always fatal. For over 40 years, Cadenzia has been a pioneer in helping people overcome their addictions. Addiction is treatable, and Cadenzia can help. Call Cadenzia today at 1-800-220-0027. Again, that's 1-800-220-0027. Or check us out on the web at www.cadenzia.org.
Substance use disorders and co-occurring disorders are chronic diseases that do not discriminate due to income, educational level, geographic locale, nationality, race, or religion. Individuals with substance use disorders frequently become alienated from their friends, families, and communities, left feeling alone with no place to turn to for help. If you are feeling alone or your life seems out of control due to substance abuse, you have a place to turn. That place is Eagleville Hospital. Eagleville provides a therapeutic atmosphere and provides the tools you'll need to support long-term recovery. The residential environment provides professional support for individuals to achieve and maintain sobriety, return sober to their family and friends. For more information or to see if Eagleville Hospital is right for you, call toll-free at 1-800-255-2019 or visit them on the web at www.eaglevillehospital.org.
Emmanuel, Kings and Queens of Soul Food, located 2905 Ridge Avenue, open 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. 7 days a week. They deliver and they cater breakfast. They have sausage, bacon, scrapple, all halal products. Stop in for lunch. Get a cheesesteak, burger, hoagies, hot sausage, or hot dog. Pick up some dinner on your way in from work. Chicken legs, turkey wings, ribs, short ribs, fried fish platter, candy yams, baked mac and cheese. 267-345-6233, 267-345-6233, or 267-534-2885. Emmanuel Kings and Queens of Soul Food, also featured on Grubhub, Uber Eats, Restaurant.com, and Groupon. Check them out on social media at Emmanuel_Soul Food. Emmanuel Kings and Queens of Soul Food, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week, 2905 Ridge Avenue.
Do you or a loved one suffer from an addiction, trauma, or mental illness? Here at the Kirkbride Center, our mission is to help our patients, their families, and friends by providing a therapeutic environment for treatment and recovery. Located at 111 North 49th Street in West Philadelphia, Kirkbride provides both short and long-term inpatient care for adults who need help from recovering from mental illness and drug and alcohol addictions. And we specialize in the use of methadone and suboxone for the treatment of opiate dependencies. This year, our staff has also pioneered a new long-term residential program for women with addictions who are survivors of trauma, the first of its kind in Philadelphia. Treatment is covered by most insurance plans, and county funding is accepted for those without insurance. Self-pay arrangements are also available, and referrals and admissions to the Kirkbride Center are accepted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For more information or to schedule an intake at the Kirkbride Center, please call our number at 215-471-2488 right away. Again, that's 215-471-2488. The Kirkbride Center is a proud sponsor of 900 AM WURD.
Hi, I'm the First Lady of Recovery, Sheila Ford, and you're listening to Recovery Talk 101 with Rick Ford on 900 AM WURD and 96.1 FM.
There's a fountain of hope. Water for each of us. There, rivers of dreams flowing through the heartache of this place. There are children that flower the trees. There are voices of people who need this place.
Yes, we're back here at 900 AM WURD. You're listening to Recovery Talk 101, and I'm your host, Rick Ford. Tonight, show is sponsored by Credenzia, and I'm sitting here with Tony Montero and Shannon. Well, we got a call on line one, calling from Center City. Is this Wes?
Wick.
Okay, Wick, yes. Welcome to the show. How can I help you?
It's a pleasure. When I was a young kid coming out of high school, working part-time, we used to donate all items where I worked at to the Cadenzia House.
Oh, cool.
And that had to be, I was no more than 15, 17 years old working for a bakery.
Wow.
And it's a blessing that you good people are on the air and you're able to talk about your addiction, talk about your past, and try to give people that are in addiction mode a chance or the understanding that they can go forward and they can do better.
Yeah.
With help.
Yeah.
I also want to say to you that your opening monologue with Billy Paul is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it touches me every time I hear it because it is your life.
Yeah.
And he said it so well with such conviction. It really, really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
But why I am calling you for my main reason. I had an opportunity this week to sit in on the trial of Mr. Sean and Mr. Michael White.
Yes.
The young man that was on trial for murder. Unfortunately, Mr. Sean was intoxicated, which was the developer.
Yeah.
And it was substance of cocaine in his body.
Indeed.
And those two combinations is nothing but a accident or catastrophe about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And in 70 seconds, he lost his life.
Wow. Well, Wick, I'm going to have a discussion in depth in the next 2 weeks about those ramifications about addiction and how people at the hierarchy think that they are incapable. You know, they smoke weed and drink and alcohol. And I'm talking about developers and people of the other expression. So I want to thank you, Wick, for calling. And I would like to hear from you in about another week. And we're going to be talking a little more in depth about addiction pertaining to that particular case.
Well, I'm going to stay on top of this case because this was a 19-year-old, he's 22 today.
Yeah.
That his entire life was about to be uprooted.
Yeah.
And possibility of being in jail for 10 to 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I
so
think
we had two tragedies.
Well, we lost. Yes, it was a double tragedy, unfortunately. But I think there's more to be discussed about this whole case with district attorney and all the other people. All right?
I would love to call in a week or so.
Yes.
I'll be tuning in because I have a lot to discuss about this case.
Okay.
Because I was a witness of the case for an entire week as a
hold that right there, Wick. Hold that right there. Matter of fact, I'm going to get your number from my producer, and I'm going to call you after the show, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks again, Wick.
Yep.
So we're going to go to our next caller. We got Lisa calling from Mississippi, Mississippi. Miss Lisa, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I am calling in to tell Miss Tony. I am Shannon's aunt, and
wow,
we are so grateful for all the opportunities you have given her,
okay,
and how much you have helped her, and we are so, so proud of her. And we just thank God that there are people like you that helped her.
Thank you so much for those comments. We did not give Shannon anything. Shannon earned everything.
Okay.
We are all responsible for our own recovery, and I asked Shannon Qualters to come with me to the radio station. Shannon came through our transitional housing program a few years ago, and when we were looking to open up the Tioga Family Center, we were looking for people who had demonstrated their recovery in action. who were doing what they needed to do, who were not only talking the talk, but actually walking the walk. And Shannon was one of those ladies that we took from our transitional program and placed in our newest development, Tioga Family Center, as a permanent housing resident there. And then I had the opportunity to hear Shannon talk about her story, and my mouth just fell open, because here is a woman who is full of passion and compassion, understands the disease, and understands that she is responsible for her recovery. So I asked my buddy Shannon, come on, go to the radio station and let's go visit Rick Ford and let's talk about your recovery. So I'm going to ask Shannon to share with us a little bit of her journey in recovery. Shannon?
Well, for one, it definitely hasn't been easy, right? Mm-hmm. And even with 3.5 years clean, life still shows up.
Now, hold on. We're going to give you a hand for that, for the 3.5 years
yes,
clean.
Indeed.
Folks know you can go from catching hell to heaven. Ooh. And healing. Ooh. Here you are, 3.5 years clean, employable, paying FICA, taking care of your family, in college. Let's talk a little about that.
So, yes, life shows up. Mm-hmm. And I'm overwhelmed. I've never had responsibilities. I've never had bills. I have 4 children, but I never had to be a mother. My sister, Amber, who is my older sister, who has children herself, stepped in. I've never really had to hit the ground, per se, because she stepped in and laid up underneath me. Mm-hmm. When all was all, she stepped in and took all 4 of my children.
Wow.
My girls, I have 4 daughters. They've never had to be separated. So I'm definitely grateful on that aspect, because you know, you got family that'll take one or two.
Yes,
but
indeed.
All 4 with your own children.
Yeah.
So okay. I definitely have to give kudos to her.
What's her name?
Amber.
Amber, we love you, Amber.
Yes.
And God will keep blessing you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3.5 years clean. Is this the longest you've ever been clean?
It is.
Folks paying attention.
It is.
Please pay attention that if you can just believe that you can put it down and God will pick you up and carry you the rest. Come on, continue.
So prior to getting clean, it was actually the hardest thing that I have ever experienced.
Can I ask you what your drug of choice was?
Heroin.
Heroin, okay.
So heroin was my drug of choice, and I could remember growing up and teasing the addicts in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, my first case as a juvenile, I fought the addicts under the L. And here it was years later, I turned into one. I didn't really understand it. I just thought I was functional. I would still get up every day, you know, brush my hair, brush my teeth, and then, you know, slowly things turned.
The regression.
Yes, absolutely. I walked under the L for many years.
Yeah.
Prostitution and, you know, everything that comes along with that. All my nevers came true.
Yeah.
So this time, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It took several times to get clean. I never really understood surrendering until getting clean 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I can remember the main reason I stay clean today. I remember entering RCF on State Road, and I was so weak from the addiction. I crawled up in fetal position and I laid in the cell for them to place me on a unit, and I remember one of the COs kicking me in my stomach and saying, "This ain't the subway, junkie, get up."
Yeah.
And I was so humiliated and so embarrassed, because for one, I'm a woman just like she is.
Yeah.
And I couldn't defend myself because I was so weak. So that gave me motivation, and I fully surrendered, and I have never looked back. But like I said, life still shows up, and I struggle. I'm a full-time mom today. I'm a full-time employee through Gardensia. I'm a full-time college student. I pay bills. I pay rent today. You know what I mean?
Give me $20.
I don't carry cash.
No, good.
Well, but with life still showing up, I just know I don't have to use drugs today.
So that's the million-dollar question, because that thing called life that sits outside these doors here will show up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle adversities? I always share with people, you got 3 kids, 4 kids.
4 kids.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate, and I hope you and many other folks who understand where I'm going with this. If the phone rings right now, and they said your kids just died in a fire. Can you get through that and don't use?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Building a foundation is essential. Yes.
Foundation is what is most important to my recovery.
Yeah.
Because like I explained earlier, when the drugs and money is gone, you have to go anyway.
Yeah.
So with a stable foundation, I mean, I have four daughters. My oldest three live with my daughter, but I have my youngest.
Give us the names. We don't pay homage to them.
Serenity, Trinity.
Serenity.
Trinity.
Trinity.
Eternity.
Eternity.
And Numaya.
Oh, yeah. Those are symbolic names. Trinity. Serenader.
Serenity.
Serenity.
Eternity.
Eternity.
And Numaya.
And Numaya. I want you to hold that. We got another call on the line. We got Dorothy calling from Mississippi. Dorothy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Now, if I start crying, bear with me. Shannon is my daughter, and I love her very much.
Yeah.
And I want to say how happy and proud I am of her today.
Mm-hmm.
She's been through a lot. We've all been through a lot, because it's not just the addicted ones that go through it. It's the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Gaudenzia for giving her the opportunity. I want to thank the good Lord for watching over her. And I know this is going to sound sad, but I want to thank the Philadelphia Police Department for locking her up, because that was her chance.
Yeah.
That's what got her cleaned. That was her chance to surrender.
They didn't, mom, they didn't arrest her. They rescued her.
Mm-hmm.
They
talk
rescued
about that.
Her. That's right. They rescued her.
Yeah.
And wow. I could be more proud of her than from the day she was born.
Wow. This is what the show was really about. You're in the state of Mississippi. And we are here, up here in the city of Philadelphia, where the opiate epidemic is at its highest.
Ground zero.
Yeah.
And your daughter is just doing phenomenal. And we want you to keep praying for her and supporting her. And God bless you, Mom.
But not only is Shannon strong in her own recovery, but she's very supportive of her peers. She takes her recovery with her to work. I had no doubt that she would be a good employee just by the demonstration of her character that I witnessed.
Yeah.
And she has turned out to be an excellent employee for us. And then when she's going back to school, I mean, my hat is off to her, because she's taking on tasks and being a mother. You know, a lot of times when women get clean, they want to take all the children back right away.
Yeah.
And my first therapist said that, don't do that. Slow down. Take your time.
Yeah.
You know, take your time. Focus on yourself. So Shannon, and I know that Numaya is a handful.
Mm-hmm.
Numaya is a handful, Grandma. But Shannon, she's a beautiful young lady. And I love to see the interaction between Shannon and her daughter. And I think I met another one of your children too.
You're
older.
Mm-hmm.
How old are they?
14 and 15.
Okay.
Wow. Mom, anything you don't, Miss Dorothy? Okay. Anything you want to say to Mom? She's probably still listening, but anything you want to say? Anybody you want to thank before we get out of here?
I definitely want to thank my mom for not giving up on me and still having faith. And I definitely, you know, want to thank my sisters, because they both partake in my recovery, coming out and looking for me,
yeah,
taking my kids and handle my kids when I couldn't.
Now, you mentioned to me you caught hell under the L up in Kensington,
yes,
right? How do you, now, three and a half years ago, have you seen any of those people that you kind of dealt with during that time?
I just
time?
Did. I was down there at the nail salon, and I seen someone that I used to encounter with. Even working at House of Passage, the lady thought it was funny. She was like, they got you doing community service. And I was like, no, this is my job.
I'm working.
So a lot of my partner is actively using. And I never understood addiction until now. I never understood what I did to my family until now.
Yeah.
It's one thing being an addict, but it's another thing loving one.
Yeah.
So now I understand it better. But I just know it's another way out. I know it's another way to live. You know, you just got to... you got to have faith, small as a mustard seed.
Yeah.
You got to have faith.
Yeah.
And you got to surrender. What worked for me might not work for the next. So I don't share that part, but I do share that there's definitely another way of living.
So do you attend like 12-step groups, anything like that?
That's the funny part. That's always the question I get, right? So in my first year I did, because it was mandatory through a recovery house.
Yeah.
So I did like a 90-90, but today I don't. I base everything on my higher power.
Mm-hmm.
and it gets me through.
And there are many pathways.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I tell a lot of people that there are many pathways into recovery. Some people can go to jail and just wake up one day and it's not. Some people go to outpatient. Some people go to NA, AACA, AAA.
Whatever works for you.
And it's crazy about this thing about addiction, because whatever you're recovering from, sexing, texting, gambling, shopping, eating, buying too many damn CDs, we all got an issue. So yes. It's important. How do you tap in? I fight hard today. Even, and I'll just say this here, been in recovery 29 straight years. Greatly in the hospital the other day, they asked me, do you, last time we had a drink, last time you smoked, you know, and proudly I sit up and tell people, sir, excuse me, I haven't had a drug or a drink in 29 years. So that's get this
that's
straight.
Amazing.
And I thought I would go to my grave not telling people that I was in recovery. I was ashamed of my recovery.
Yeah.
But it was people like Mike Harl and the people that were around, Cecilia Velasquez, Gail Hanna. These people helped me to this day. You know, and I just feel so very blessed, especially since I had never even heard of Gaudenzia.
Yeah.
But one of the challenges that we face with recovery is giving back. We want to give back as much as we can. We want to have our hand available. So if somebody calls me, if somebody calls in right now, if anybody's out there that's listening that needs help, call in and let me get you hooked up
to
some treatment.
There's a number. You got a number you want to give out?
What is that 800 number?
We'll play that commercial again. And if you're young and listening, please take this number down 24 hours a day. There's never an end to this.
One of the things I wanted to point out and why I asked Shannon to come along also is that we operate the city's largest single women's shelter.
Passages?
In Philadelphia. House of Passages.
House of Passages.
And at 5 o'clock, we become the after-hours intake department for the city of Philadelphia for any woman in Philadelphia that needs some place to lay their head, to take a shower, to get a meal.
Yeah.
Shannon, my hat's off to Charmaine Ramey, Tamika Artis, Karen Williams at Gaudenzia's House of Passage. That's the management team at House of Passage. But the population that we have to deal with, they're active in their addictions many times.
Indeed.
They are angry. I would be angry, too, if I didn't have a place to lay my head at night. And there were circumstances that led to me getting there. And my team, my staff, Shannon at the shelter, they have to endure so much abuse at the hands of the homeless, believe it or not.
Indeed.
They're angry, and we have to have, and I tell all of my staff, in order to work in a homeless shelter like the House of Passage, you have to demonstrate extreme compassion.
Indeed.
Extreme compassion, because these people are coming to us hurt, angry, broken, betrayed. I mean, the stories, we're getting older women, we're getting younger women.
Yes.
You know, we're getting grandmothers with gray hair, like me, carting everything that they own in a cart.
To a shelter.
All the worldly belongings to the shelter, So I just wanted Shannon, because I watch her deal compassionately with residents on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And my staff may not think I'm looking, but I'm always looking.
Indeed.
When I walk through, they may think, oh, she's just walking through the facility. No, I'm watching.
Yeah.
And I get an opportunity to see how my staff, how the team at House of Passage interacts with the homeless, and my hat's off to them, because theirs is not an easy job. Shannon, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in the shelter.
It's a rough one. Prior to getting the job, I did my interview with Charmaine, and her first question, well, her first statement was, it's a lot of mental health. And I'm like, I can do it. I deal with my own mental health, a little bipolar, a little depression. But I never really understood mental health until I got there. And on a daily, it can be really overwhelming. You're talking about women, all different walks of life, all different personalities, struggling with drug and alcohol, mental health, homelessness, sexual abuse, all this.
Domestic violence. We can go on and on.
Where?
Trauma.
So a lot of it is trauma.
Yeah.
So sometimes it ain't about what you say, it's how you say it to these women.
That's right.
Because it can trigger at any given time. And you have to have compassion for these women.
Yeah.
And through the grace of God, there was I. I was there 3 years ago. Wow. You know, so that's my form of giving back. It's the fruit of the labor. So even if I'm only able to, you know, make one woman smile that day, it's all worth it at the end.
And it's here what comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Oh, for sure.
And what's really interesting about the House of Passages, when you think of what's happening currently with the climate, the inclement weather, changing the closing of treatment facilities, and not filling treatment facilities but shelters, there are a multitude of women that are so out there. And when you think about the attachment separation disorder, those who have kids, so we got a lot of work to do. I commend those women and staffing over there at the House of Passages, located at 111 North 48th Street. So,
right, so any woman in the city of Philadelphia, if you are homeless tonight, if somebody has put you out tonight and you don't have any place to go, I encourage you, go now to 111 North 48th Street to our After Hours program. We have two programs. We have the House of Passage, which has 105 beds. We're going to be
105
expanding
beds.
To 115 as soon as we get the beds, the additional beds.
Yeah.
And then in After Hours, we have 30 beds?
Yes.
And 20 chairs?
Yes.
We don't like people to sit in chairs, but we will gladly offer you a chair if we have no other alternative for you. But we just want to make sure that you're safe. We don't want you exposed to the elements. We want to make sure you're fed tonight. We want to make sure you get a shower tonight. We want to make sure you have some place to stay tonight. Uh-huh. 111 North 48, just walk in.
You know, and when I think of cold blue, and I know that now we're at this time where the weather is definitely going to decrease down to the 30s and 40s. Please, please, if you're listening, that showed love and compassion for those that are out there in the streets. If you have problems with people living in your house, think a little more in detail how severe this can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a heartbreak piece, Derek, because I talked to some of the women to find out what happened. What happened?
Yeah.
How did you get here? And I've heard stories from women who have worked their entire lives. Mm-hmm. They were teachers and they were professionals and they retired. And they moved in with their children. And they used up all of their 401k or their 403b. They used up all of their savings supporting their adult children's household. And when their money left out, just like the addict, when the addict's money dries
out.
They got to go.
Yeah, the kids say,
so now,
Mom, you can't stay here no more.
All of a sudden, it's a big issue. And it's these women are really hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
And that breaks my heart. I mean, my heart, you can't have, you can only do so much for them, but we can give them some hope.
Yeah.
You know, but
I'm just thinking, and I'm quite sure there are folks who are paying, listening, and viewing. Please, please, please. Think about your neighbors, your family, your friends. Extend out the branch to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems to be, we used to have larger nuclear families, where grandmom and granddad and mom and dad all lived in the same household.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see as much of that generational living together.
Yeah.
So when we see these older women coming into the shelter and we talk to them, we try to find out how you got here, what happened, how you got here.
It's painful, isn't it?
It's very painful.
For you, when you hear the stories of my husband put me out, and we're going to do a whole show on this.
Mm-hmm. Philadelphia has a desperate need for affordable housing. Shelter is not the answer.
No.
Shelter only gives somebody a place to stay for the night. We need more affordable housing. Nobody in Philadelphia should be paying more than 30% of their income towards housing. And some people got into that where they were paying 50 or 60% of their income towards their mortgage or mm-hmm. their rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's too high.
Yeah.
So, we work closely with the Office of Supportive Housing.
Yes.
And they're funded by HUD, Housing and Urban Development. And we are trying to send it, and it's not just in Philadelphia, Derek. This is a national epidemic.
Let me tell you something, but this whole thing with gentrification and it's across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pay close attention to what's happening with locally and nationally, what's happening with housing and all this stuff is moving in a direction where folks are being effective as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you again. Shannon. Shannon, right?
Yes.
Shannon, again, my prayers go to you. We look forward to you to come back here on WURD.
I sure
keep bringing hope and healing over the airwaves, all right?
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to turn this over to my good friend, Tony. I'm so glad to see you again. And kudos go out to the administration over there at Gardenzia. When they thought of you, you are truly a star working over there helping women. Thank you for that. Your final words? We got 2 minutes. We're going to close
out. Final word, I want to thank Mike Carl for giving me an opportunity. I want to thank God for putting me in a position to affect change. I want to thank God for saving me from my addiction so that I'm there for the next sick and suffering addict to help them.
Yeah.
See, because somebody showed me. Somebody took the time to work with me. Having a sponsor is an awesome thing.
Ooh.
Having a sponsor that takes you through the 12 steps of recovery, that's a program for life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an addict to benefit from the 12 steps. But to give yourself unselfishly like that, I was blown away by the women that God has put in my life on my recovery journey. So I can't thank my sponsor. Jerusha Flowers is my sponsor. I can't thank her enough because to this day, I can go to her with anything, and she's there for me.
Yeah.
God bless recovery.
God bless recovery.
It definitely works.
I get so emotional about this, and been doing the show for almost a decade now. If I think, I just want to thank WRD for allowing me to create this concept, bringing hope and healing over the airways for the recovering community. My final words, I've always been love someone because someone needs to love you back. To my wonderful wife, First Lady Sheila Ford, who is still pursuing degrees after degrees after degrees, but taking care of her husband, Rick Ford. I love you, honey. To my two daughters, Sierra Quadia, Sayer, my grandson, my hero, and my granddaughter, Samia, and to the Ford family, all the families that are viewing us, the Sanders families, the Meacham families, to the recovering community of Philadelphia and the nation. We love you guys. Until next week, peace, and we out of here. Lloyd, where you at, Lloyd? I do this every week where I call Lloyd Cummings in because he's going to tell us what he's going to be doing in 2 minutes here at 900 AM. Where are we going, Lloyd?
For real, we're going to the Caribbean where they have lots of music and sunshine all the time. No winter down there.
Awesome.
Barbados, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Antigua, Grenada, Dominica, everywhere, Haiti. Everywhere. Music coming up at 7. Caribbean Rhythms.
That's my good friend Lloyd Cummings right here. Don't change that dial. Until next week, peace. And we're out of here.
Thank you, Rick.
Attention Word audience, do you know that Pico can provide you with more information about your energy usage through their smart meter program? The new smart meter, also known as electric meters, and the Pico interactive website helps to give you more information on understanding how to best use energy and how to save energy and money. Smart meters also provide quick support to local fire departments and other officials during an emergency. And you can get faster, more convenient service when moving out of your home or into a new home. Smart meters can also identify potentially dangerous situations like tampered meters and reroute power to restore faster service in the event of an outage. Visit Pico.com and search smart meters to learn more about signing up to save energy and money. Pico, powering our communities.
Join Word Radio for the EcoWord Environmental Justice Summit, Sunday, October 20th from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. at Bartram's Garden, 5400 Lindbergh Boulevard. This unique green event will feature lightning talks about the connections between race, income, and the environment, locally, nationally, regionally, and especially in Philadelphia. Featuring John Francis, author of Planet Walker and The Ragged Edge of Silence, Chris Benson, herbalist and leader in the Philadelphia holistic community, Janine Kayembe, founder of Life Do Grow Farm, Zulene Mayfield, environmental activist, Joanne Douglas, program manager of the Watershed Interpretation and Youth River Program at Bartram's Garden, and a special talk and musical performance by Ill-Fated Natives. Also featured will be Wasted, an EcoWord photo exhibit, a healing drum circle by Music Over Matter, resources and information by Dr. Paul Hopkins, host of The Green Hour, AmeriHealth Caritas Keystone VIP Choice, Livelihood Green Sector Job Resources with ShopRite, the United States Census, Clean Water Action, and more. Refreshments will be served. You must RSVP. Register today at wordradio.com or call 215-425-7875. Supported by the WinCode Foundation.
knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, the way they talk, the way they touch their hair. We hold details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones that we carry with us every day. Can we describe them when everything's right? Can we feel when something's wrong? Our bond with our sister girls gives life.